are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to talk to you. We're very dedicated to the fight against breast cancer here at the station. And when they offered me the opportunity to speak with you, I'm just very excited about it. You have such a wonderful attitude, but you have such a centered attitude. And the book is incredible. You wrote Pretty Sick, The Beauty Guide for Women with Cancer. And not only are you an author, you're also a cancer survivor. Tell us your story.
I am, and thank you for those kind words. That means a lot. I was a beauty director when I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2012. And at the time, I had an amazing Rolodex of experts that I used to interview for stories in the magazine. And when I started experiencing all the really harsh side effects of my cancer treatment, I called on every single one of these experts, from hairstylists to makeup artists, to dermatologists, to, you name it, manicurists, you name it, I had them on speed dial, and I called every single one of them to kind of help me, you know, minimize how harsh these side effects were for me. And I was actually sort of surprised at how some very simple things could do that, you know, could really help me maintain a sense of myself during that terrible time. So, you know, by the time that I was done with my treatment, I started writing the book, and it eventually became Pretty Sick. I put all those tips in one place because, as I'm sure you know, the web can be a scary place. So when you're researching, like, how to care for yourself, sometimes mm-hmm. you get crazy information. So,
yeah.
And a lot of the information just wasn't even out there, you know. And I also feel like a lot of women don't know what to expect. And so it isn't until they're really in the thick of it, experiencing it, that they're like, okay, how do I deal with this?
Well, let's take a step back with your own cancer diagnosis. How far back was this?
I was diagnosed in 2012, right after my 42nd birthday. And, you know, like everybody else, it was a complete shock. I was I led a very healthy life and did not expect that at all. And that became, you know, what started a 2.5, almost 3-year cancer journey. Mm. First with surgery. I had a lumpectomy. The plan was to have a lumpectomy, chemotherapy, and then radiation. But I never ended up having the radiation because I ended up having a double mastectomy before then.
My mom is a double mastectomy survivor, so I'm very, very aware of the side effects and what women go through. When you were going for treatment, when you were talking to other women, what triggered the idea for the book? Was there any particular moment?
You know, it was a few moments because there were things like I didn't want to ask my oncologist for advice on like how to deal with my nails that were lifting
yeah.
or my mouth sores because, you know, he's got a real job. He's like trying to get rid of this disease. I certainly didn't, you know, think that that was anything that he was focused on, mm-hmm. and rightly so. And when I talked to women, we were kind of like, we didn't know how to handle certain things. We didn't know how to handle mouth sores or the fact that our skin was turning color, what I call mood skin, you know, from one day to the next when you're going through chemotherapy. One day your skin's yellow, the next day it's green, the next day it's ruddy and red. And you're like, what foundation can cover this, you know? Like, what can I get instead of having a huge, you know, 18 different foundations in my makeup bag? And there were just little things that I really didn't have the answer to, and I couldn't find the answers to. So I called my experts or I tapped other cancer survivors for tips. And then, you know, really towards the end of the book, by the end of my treatment, I really was like, I want to pass this information on to other women. How do I get this information out there? Because every woman who's going through this is going to have the same questions. We all had the same sort of similar questions. So that's sort of how this is how it kind of came to be.
And I have to say that I know when you're going through something as difficult as treatment for breast cancer, that I think your own self-esteem is something you really need to put out there because everybody's controlling one side of your life And this is another way you can take back a little of that control and make yourself feel pretty good. Was that important to you?
Oh, 100%. You couldn't have even said it better, honestly. That's exactly what it comes down to. You know, this book is not so much about looking pretty. It's really about feeling empowered. It's about giving women the information to care for themselves so that they can kind of pull it together enough to go out into the world and feel good about and you know, feel good and look good about their life. You know, cancer treatment has come so far. The advances are amazing. It used to be where it was so harsh that you had to stay home and kind of hibernate during that whole time. But now you can go about your life. You can work out. You can go to work. You can play with your kids at the playground. So to me, if you're out there living, you want to also be able to take care of yourself so you look like you're, you know, living. You know, you're part of life, and being able to kind of just like look like my normal self really helped me feel less self-conscious about that, you know?
I agree with that. Now, you brought in some big guns from the makeup world to take care of, to getting a few more tips in there, but you also talked to a lot of women who were very high profile that dealt with cancer. Was their way of dealing with it different than, say, someone who isn't a Joan London or a Sandra Lee?
Well, you know, Joan London and Sandra Lee have different needs because they are on TV, they're
right.
high profile, they're out there in the public eye. So, for example, they may have to go out and buy a $5,000 real hair wig. But in the book, I talk about how there are some really great affordable options where women don't have to feel pressure to spend that kind of money. You know, synthetic wigs have come a really long way, and they look amazing. And there are also wigs that are a combination, synthetic and real hair. So it's real hair on the top and in the front, so it looks like a real scalp underneath it. But in the back, where you sweat and where you want to pull your hair back, it's synthetic, so you don't have the maintenance. It's information like that that I didn't really know. I mean, why would I know that before cancer? That really makes it so much easier. I felt pressure to, like, get a really amazing wig, but amazing wigs are super expensive.
Yeah.
They take time to make, and they're not always covered by insurance. So being able to find the best synthetic or combo wig, you know, makes you feel good about your decision, makes you feel, again, empowered to get the right thing, make it easy on yourself, and go out there and look amazing when you're going through it and look like yourself, you know. And that is, you know, that's the kind of stuff. Like, so I took information that they had. So if you're shopping for a really expensive wig, this is what you want to look for. But then here are some other options. I really tried to make it relatable for everybody in all walks of life with all different kinds of cancer, not just breast cancer, and in all economic backgrounds, because most women can't afford a $5,000 wig. I certainly couldn't afford a $5,000 wig. I couldn't afford a $500 wig. So I really needed to find like a really good like $100 wig that I could wear to work, that I could look good and feel good wearing.
Have you found in the beauty world that a lot of the cosmetic companies are a little bit, are some better than others when it comes to helping out someone dealing with cancer and their needs?
Yeah and no. I feel like, you know, there are some brands that are aware of that customer, and then there are some that aren't. To me, it's really not even about the brands. Yeah. I look for the formulation of it. I look for the benefits of the product, the colorations. So I'm a big drugstore beauty fan.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are some of the best body lotions there. Some of the best makeup is there. So I just look for like what works, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything that you want to avoid when you're working toward feeling better about yourself? Did you find anything that just didn't work?
Well, there are certain things you can't use. For example, and this was a shocker to me, is, you know, every day I'm piling on creams and serums that are packed with antioxidants because they are the cell preservers. They make you look young. But when you're going through cancer treatment, you're not allowed to use antioxidants. And you would be surprised at how many makeup and skincare products contain them. The thing is, you know, antioxidants are the cell preservers, but when you're going through chemotherapy, chemotherapy's main function is to kill all the cells, healthy and non. It doesn't discriminate. So when you use an antioxidant, it keeps those cells alive, and you don't want to keep a sleeper cancer cell alive. So that's just one thing you have to really be very aware of is antioxidants. They're a no-go during treatment.
That's an excellent tip. And how are you feeling today?
I feel great. I feel great. Life is good.
That's what I want to hear. The book is pretty sick, The Beauty Guide for Women with Cancer, and we're going to make sure our listeners get a copy of this into their hands as well. And Caitlin, it's just been a real pleasure speaking with you, and I think you're very motivating, very inspiring for women of all ages.
Thanks so much, Anne. Thank you for having me on today.